Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. We are all ready to go for our fall season. And today we're going to talk about the growth of camping amid COVID-19. And we are specifically looking at an update that was released to KOA's 2020 North American Camping Report. So every spring, KOA puts out their North American Camping Report, which is this incredible survey which gives all kinds of data about the status of camping. It's sort of a state of the union for camping. And it's quite fascinating. Now, this fall, they put up an update. That's not something they ever do. This is the first time they've done that, because I think they just wanted to take stock, basically, of what happened over the summer. And this report is fascinating, and of course we want to talk about it. And it also pairs well with two episodes that we did during September, where we looked at the status of towable RV sales, which are explosive, and we looked at the status of motorized RV sales, which are explosive, which have been record-breaking over the summer. This report is a really nice bookend to that because it shows us what's happening at the campground level in the campground industry and how those explosive RV sales have affected campgrounds, campground owners, and campground managers. So our source will be KOA's update to the 2020 North American Camping Report. We're going to rip through it, talk about it, analyze it, discuss it, and have some fun. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
The brand new J Feather Micro Series is rugged and ready for adventure, but it's also lightweight and easy to tow. The 5-4 pans in the Micro Series are packed with high-end features like 16-inch Goodyear off-road tires, roof mount, solar prep, and pre-wire for an inverter so you can easily use your 110 outlets even if you are camping off-grid.
The included 17-inch Blackstone griddle is also a Jayco exclusive. There is no other RV right now that can come with a Blackstone griddle but a Jayco. The side Nerf bars and optional roof and bike racks make it easy to bring your bikes and kayaks along to the mountains, ocean, or lake, or wherever the open road leads you. The Micro Series has floor plans that are perfect for solo travelers, couples, or families that can't wait for their next great outdoor adventure. To find out more, visit jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun. All right, let's talk about what went down at American campgrounds this past summer, this bizarre, wild, crazy summer that we are all still trying to make sense about. So back in May, KOA surveyed potential campers and campers and said, you know, are you intending to camp this summer during the coronavirus epidemic? And a good number of them said they were. Now, in this update in September, what they've discovered, what their data has discovered, was that summer camping activity was busier than expected, busier than what people said they would do in May. So a certain number of people said they would camp. Even more people decided to go camping, I guess, once restrictions are lifted and people started to feel a bit more comfortable.
I also think it was a snowball effect. I think that there was a little bit of, like, the next door syndrome, right? Like, in we already knew in May that RV rentals exploded, right? We started to see the data from RV Share and Outdoorsy and stuff. And then by June and July, we saw that RV sales were actually going through the roof. But in the meantime, in the middle of all that, I think that a lot of people started seeing other people camping and realizing, I'm stuck in the house. I had to cancel my vacation, which was like a fly in hotel or maybe to the Bahamas or whatever. I had to cancel that Disney World. So I want to do something too. I can't tell you how many friends I know were like, where did you go? You went to Lake George, you went to Lake Placid, and then they camped or RV'd.
I can't tell you the number of friends I know that bought their first RVs, and there are friends I hadn't talked to in 20 years who were sending me messages on Facebook saying, hey, can you give me some advice?
Social media, people started seeing that in people's feeds, the camping and everything, and they were like, yes, That's and what
the
we
national
do.
Media coverage. You yeah. had all kinds of national media coverage, cover stories in the Wall Street Journal, stories on Channel 4, you know, all over the place. All right, so who were all these campers? This is kind of amazing. The second key finding. 1/4 of North American campers took their first camping trip during the pandemic. So if you look at all the people that went camping this summer during the pandemic, 25% of them had never camped before.
Yeah, and then even more than that, nearly half of the campers started camping for the first time in 2020. So maybe some people were prior to the pandemic, like just already had bought the RV maybe in January or February, like planning on doing this. And then also people that hadn't camped recently. So it was like, oh, better dust those, you know, tents off and stuff, and let's get back into it because this is a good, you know, way to travel right now.
We've talked a lot on the podcast about the RV newbies and the camping newbies. And remember, this is the KOA Camping Report is not just talking about RV owners, it's talking about campers. 25% of campers this summer were new campers. So now the huge question becomes, how many will stay and remain as campers in the years to come?
I'm probably less optimistic than...
Well, there's a stat at the end.
Okay.
Hold your thought, because actually, I'll tell you the truth, you're right according to the stats.
Okay.
But we'll get there. We'll circle back at the end and talk about how many of these people are actually going to keep camping in the years to come. But you have to also remember, a lot of current campers, people that do camp every year and do RV every year, opted out this summer. So that is the zaniness of being a campground owner this past year, or being a campground manager this past year, is there was a substantial chunk of people who canceled their summer camping plans. And then there's a wave of this gigantic wave of new campers that made first-time camping plans. So I think that it was probably pretty stressful working at a campground this summer. And everyone I've talked to said that's true.
Probably where you live, right? I mean, this is a huge country, and there's a lot of different circumstances in different places. And also, like, what type of camping you do. So we usually plan for the summer these really long, far away RV trips. So for us, it was like, no, we can't do that. And not only that, but with our state, there was quarantine restrictions to come back.
And which is still a problem for us this fall.
Yeah, I just found out that
we have a South Carolina RV trip planned in November, and we are supposed to self-quarantine for 2 weeks when we get back.
That's not happening.
So, yeah, I mean, that one's
it's not happening. I'm not I'm sorry.
That one's going to get canceled, too.
We really quarantined through the spring along with, you know, a lot of other people in New Jersey. I'm not going back.
And I mean, we want our kids in school. Like, I'm not going to pull the kids out of school for 2 weeks or whatever it
and
might
sports,
be.
Sports. They're in sports, soccer.
That's not fair. That's not the right thing to do. So now I'm looking for other options for a early November RV trip. All right, here's another kind of stunning fact, another stunning key finding from the North American Camping Report update. So the first-time campers that got out there this summer are much younger than the average camper, all right? So 55% of new campers were millennials. So I think that that's...
Can we remind people how old millennials are?
Well, now they're in their 30s. They can
they're
be in their 30s.
No, it's like they're going to be turning almost 40 this year. Okay, sometimes that word is used...
You think it's somebody who's 22 and it's
for
not.
For young people, but it's not. This is people that are in their...
But let me tell you, they got out.
Late 20s through 30s, yeah.
And they got out and went camping this summer. And if you think about it, it makes sense.
Of course they did. They were stuck in the house with their kids.
Stuck in the house with their kids. Because, 82% of first-time campers have children. Mm. So stuck in the house with kids.
Get me out of here.
Also, they're not in the highest risk demographic. I'm not downplaying any of the risks of COVID, but they're just not in the group that's most likely to opt to stay home. So really a youthful insurgence in camping at campgrounds this summer, and so many families camping and first timers. Okay, we have more to talk about with the KOA's 2020 update to the North American Camping Report. But before we dive into some more stats and some more data, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts.
Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you are an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comforts of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities.
From amazing water zones to mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds. And with over 75 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home. And I think that was clutch for a lot of people over this past summer, taking a trip close to home to something like a Jellystone.
Now, there's still time to enjoy those fall camping weekends at Jellystone, which are legendary and super fun. But I hate to say it, you should probably also be looking ahead to next summer and making your reservations.
Oh, I posted something about next summer and everyone's like, I already made my plans. Yeah, I already booked everything.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but you're already behind the curve. Because a lot of people that canceled just moved into next year. So I think that there's going to be some trouble with reservations next year because of that.
I got to get on it. I'm usually the first one to be making plans. So look, you got to remember, it's not just a campground. It's a Jellystone Park. You got awesome Halloween weekends happening now. And like Stephanie just said, you need to start booking for next spring and summer. Visit JellystonePark.com to find a Jellystone Park near you. All right, so more key findings from KOA's North American Camping Report update. So private bathrooms are playing a huge role in people's desire to buy RVs. This is a major, major thing of interest to people entering the camping and RVing space. So having a private bathroom was important to 48% of all leisure travelers. That's everybody that travels. Okay, so about half of people that travel say having a private bathroom matters. 42% of campers say it's super important, and 58% of prospective campers say it's important. That's a really key number. So 58% of people who are thinking about either going camping or buying an RV are attracted to it because there is safe and private bathrooms in an RV.
That's an attraction when you're not in a pandemic. How much more so when you are? I mean, that was one of the only reasons you convinced me last June to take our first trip, or like it was Memorial Day weekend, to go to Lake George, was because I knew that between here and there
we could just use the
restrooms at rest stops, you know, and prepare food in there. So yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Now here's a silver lining perhaps, and it's kind of a complicated silver lining, this next key finding. So campers are willing to visit less popular locations to avoid overcrowding. So I think what happened this summer is a lot of people gave up on Yellowstone and Yosemite and Glacier and some of the most popular places. Perhaps I know a lot of people didn't want to go into like Pigeon Forge because of the crowding and stuff like that. So I think that a lot of people started to look for off the beaten track destinations and campgrounds that were less crowded. That's probably overall a good thing. It might have hurt the tourism industry in some of these really busy places, but it might have kind of put a spotlight on some new places that are often underappreciated.
Okay, so you mentioned that this report is about all campers, but obviously the elephant in the room here is that, yes, the popularity of RVs in particular has exploded. So what's driving that popularity?
It's that safety, that security of having your own private space, of having your own private bathroom, of having your own private kitchen. It's all the things that we kind of all woke up and realized, like, oh my God, RVing is perfect for this pandemic. When you ask people why they are attracted to RVs, it's for all those things that we've all loved about RVs for years and years and years. Now, what's kind of interesting, though, is if you look at this data, so people that are becoming interested in RVing, it's about a 50-50 split between those who are interested in buying and those that are interested in renting. And I think that that marks a huge surge in people that are interested in renting. So rental business is exploding in the RV space right now because a lot of people are saying, look, I'm eventually going to go back to my fly and cruise type vacations. Yeah. I'm not going to commit to a motorhome, but hey, I'll rent a motorhome. So I found that fascinating that so many people are interested in renting. And what fascinated me even more is that people are more interested in renting an RV from a peer-to-peer network than they are from the traditional rental companies. Now, it's not that much of a difference. It's only by about 5 percentage points, but basically more people are willing and interested in renting from Outdoorsy and RV Share and the likes than they are from Cruise America, El Monte, and Road Bear.
Of course. You don't have the corny logos all over the RV. And they also get to choose something that feels a little more personal and incognito. Nobody in the like millennial Gen X generation wants to drive around with a Cruise America logo.
And somebody might want to rent
us. They certainly don't want that in their Instagram pictures. I hate to say it to you.
I think you're making a good point. And I think people want more variety. They might want to rent a teardrop camper. They might want to rent a Class B. And the traditional rental companies tend to have pretty homogenous fleets of Class C motorhomes. homes. So if you want that cool experience, you're right.
I think renting during this time was so smart for people that did that, because we've talked about before the steep learning curve of RV ownership, right? There is just that ramp up that it takes to get to the point where you're just enjoying your RV. And like, if somebody goes and buys an RV kind of as this impulse purchase and then is like, oh my gosh, I have to learn how to do this, I have to learn how to do that, and they just want a 2-week vacation or whatever. Like, I honestly don't think that that's like the best decision.
I agree. And I think that the news here is that the peer-to-peer platforms, they've arrived. They are just officially substantial parts of the RV landscape. I mean, there was a time when RV Share and Outdoorsy felt like these kind of Wild West, you know, tech companies. I remember we had on Jen from Outdoorsy 5 years ago. We were, and she was one of the founders of Outdoorsy, and we're interviewing her while she's in her Airstream out on the road traveling. No, these are big established companies at this point with lots and lots of funding. So anyway, lots of renters out there. Another key finding, and this is another silver lining. I mean, if we're going to look at a negative situation and say, well, what positives have come out of it? I think this is a pretty good silver lining. Since the pandemic began, according to the report, 46% of leisure travelers have spent more time outdoors. This includes 50% of campers. People are spending more time outside. And that, I think that in a very broad sense, that's a good thing. Part of me worries that people are not working as much, or that a lot of those people might have time on their hands that they'd rather have working. I hope that's not part of this data set, but it could be.
I think that that's true, but I also think there's other things that are worrisome, right? First of all, it's taking a toll on the stretched resources already of our national and state parks. So there's a lot of stories this summer about people not behaving responsibly outside and leaving a lot of trash and other, you know, like kind of left behind stuff, that we have a woefully underfunded parks system in this country. And so they don't have the resources to just ramp that up and start cleaning up after all these people that maybe don't have that like outdoor
same
ethic. Yeah, about it. So like that concerns me. And it also concerns me for like those overknown and overcrowded places.
Like
anyway.
Zion.
Yeah, like I wish we could, like you're saying, oh, people went to different places. Well, I hope that that's true with some of the stats for the parks too, right? The less.
Well, here's what I bet happened. I bet a lot of the newbies went to Zion and Yosemite.
Yeah.
And I bet a lot of the more experienced RV owners said, well, no, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go to this national forest or this, you know, this section of Utah that's less populated. All right. Yeah. Another silver lining. Campers are reaping the benefits of remote work and schooling. And we've seen this in our group a lot. I mean, a lot of people have had their jobs moved to remote jobs. And if you're an RV owner and your kids are in a virtual school, there are probably dozens, if not hundreds of people on our Facebook group who are just like, okay, I'm gone
they
for a month.
We
I'm
might
taking
as
off.
Well go. Yeah. And I think we talked about this a little bit in some of the other trends reports. So I don't want to like grossly repeat myself, but I do think that there was a little bit of like a pipe dream about what that looks like, that we're very educated about what it takes to get reliable internet connection on the road, because we've been like quote unquote working on the road for 5 years. When we would take off on some of our longer vacations, a lot of the time we're really actually delivering freelance work while we're gone, right? Or we're still publishing our podcast while we're on the road. And I've said before that is an intense strain when you have to have Wi-Fi. Like I've always said to you, I want to be in the position where like I'm okay if we can't get a connection before we go to a, you know, more remote spot. Like whether it means pulling into the McDonald's before we leave that rest stop and making sure that everything's uploaded or something.
I bet that people did have that stress, but also had an amazing time traveling.
Yeah.
You know, in this weird window of opportunity for RV travel for people that are working and schooling.
And maybe, you know, maybe we are hitting a point where the connectivity with hotspots is just getting
critical.
So much better, though, also, that if you're not super remote, you'll be okay.
Well, the next key finding says that the access to technology, the access to Wi-Fi is incredibly important. So half of campers say it's important so that they can work on the road. And then 36% say it's super important because they have children that are completing schoolwork on the road.
Yeah.
So if this, you know, God, if this can tenues.
Don't say that.
I know. I'm just saying, you know, the Wi-Fi is critical. I mean, if more people are working on the road and homeschooling on the road, Wi-Fi becomes more and more critical. All right, so we have a little bit more left from the North American Camping Report. We're going to come back in a second, kind of wrap it up and talk about the future and if all of these new people are going to keep camping. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, you can visit Thetford.com. And Thetford, if you're planning on camping anywhere without sewer hookups, talk about going off-grid, you'll definitely want to snag yourself a Smart Tote 2, four-wheel, portable, waste tank, okay, which we used during time.
I'm going to get really honest with our listeners here.
Oh,
so.
Do we have to, though?
Yeah. The Smart Tote 2 saved us. I absolutely used it during our time stuck at the campground in between houses that we talked about in the last episode. And for the first time,
I used it for
the black tank.
Oh, God, I knew you were going to say that.
We were at a campground without sewer for 6 nights. I'm not going to hitch up the RV and drive to the dump station and then reset up the camper. I would way rather use the Smart Tote 2 for the black
then
tank.
Then what'd you do? Did you clean it out?
I cleaned it nice and good and put in the chemical.
Okay,
but I'm saying it's a personal decision. A lot of you only use it for gray water, but I now can say I have used it for both.
And we survived.
And it's a great product.
All right. The auto stop level gauge also prevents messy overfilling, and the handle hooks onto a trailer hitch so you can easily tow
it. I towed it to the dump station. I had my gloves on, and there was no mess at all. So if you want to find out more about the Smart Tote 2 or any other great Thetford products, visit Thetford.com. So let's talk about retention. Like, are these new campers actually going to continue camping?
Wow. 18% will continue camping.
Kind of shocked me. I thought the number would be high. And again, this is a survey. This
people
is just asking
miss
what people's intent.
Their yeah. creature comforts, Jeremy. I keep telling you this, and you just don't get it.
I get it. I do get it.
People are grateful, I think, for some other alternative right now. But I think that there's just like, there's a piece of me, my friend and I always joke about the before times where it was like in the before, you know.
And now we're living in the after.
And it's like in the before, we used to get a pedicure, you know, and in the after. Like, there hasn't been a pedicure since February here, you know, with me and my friends and stuff. And you're just like, you miss feeling just like you're being like actually on vacation, right? Like, we miss like going out to dinner. Like, there's things that you miss that I feel like people are not just like, oh my gosh, this is so great, I'm always going to do this. They want what they had before. I do think that.
I do. I still thought the number would be higher. So, I mean, the question was like, how many of you new campers are going to keep camping after the pandemic ends? And 18% say they will. I would have guessed it would have been 40 or 50%.
Now, all their kids will probably convince you know the kids if the kids
I think
were
people
asked,
maybe
they,
said no because it's like, yeah, I want to go on my cruise again,
yeah,
but maybe
they
actually will
it.
Keep camping.
Yeah, and I think that their kids will be like, Mom, let's go back to the camp. Like, honestly,
so
I
is
bet
next
the kids
summer
will push
not gonna
parents
be,
to do it more because kids love it so much.
Is next summer not going to be as busy? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out, because you got to remember, a lot of people, particularly maybe people in higher risk groups, opted out of RVing and camping this summer. Simultaneously, you get a surge of new people. Now, not all of those new people are going to come back next summer.
You're going to have a lot of people who bought RVs this year. The question is,
are they going to be all
for
sale?
Are they going to be using them, or are they all going to be for sale in the used market? Only time will tell. It'll be interesting to find out.
It'll be really interesting to find out. I mean, there is an issue where there's not enough campsites, not enough campgrounds. We'll see what happens next summer. I also think that the RVing sort of pierced the national consciousness. And I think that there's a lot of people that just didn't get around to buying one this summer, but have kind of decided that they want to buy one. So next summer is going to be an interesting story to see as well. And hopefully the world is back to normal or close. I'll take close.
Somewhat resembling.
I'll take close to normal.
All right. Either way, we'll see you at the campground.
We'll definitely see you at the campground.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, to Jayco, the Thetford Corporation, Go Power, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, and RV Snaphead.
To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, visit thervatlas.com.
And to join the friendliest group of RVers, join us over at the RV Atlas Group on Facebook.
See you at the campground.
We'll see you at the campground.